For those who don't know, our guest speaker for the week, his name is Matt. Now, kind of the crazy thing, yes. The crazy thing about this, though, is for a lot of the leaders of the youth group now, when we were in youth group, Matt was one of our leaders, which is just wild to think about, to be completely honest with you. But he is going to share also a little bit about the week, too. So will you join me in welcoming Matt?
On that note, it makes me feel so old. But good morning, church. How are you? It's excellent to be back. I've been going to youth group here at Concord since 2000, so I think I got some of y'all beat. But this week, the whole idea was around, can we trust God with our life? And if I were to do this week over again, I would probably pick something easier, like love. just the manifestations of having to trust God in those moments were just a little too close to home. So next time will be a lot easier. You know, we had wonderful moments this week, and one of those things was on Wednesday we had baptisms, and I don't foresee anyone that got baptized here, but church family, say that, sorry. Oh yeah, I'm sorry. Jude. Happy Father's Day, right? Jude, can you come here, please, bud? So, everyone, this is my oldest. This is Jude Jacobs. And Jude, on his own, not pressure from me or from Kristen, his mom, but on his own, got baptized and devoted his life to Jesus. It doesn't mean I'm going to let up on Mario Kart, though, so. Thanks, bud. Have a seat. But other youth who got baptized this week were Tony and Riley, Chase, Silas, Kyler, Carter, Jude, Jordan, Marissa, and Kara. So let's give a round of applause. And so we had these intimate moments where the students prayed for each other to overcome strongholds in their life. It was just beautiful to see. We talked to this idea where all people were there on a spectrum of coming to Christ, and if they hadn't already, it was our responsibility as Christ followers to act and talk in a loving and gracious way to get them one step closer to Christ. If they still haven't surrendered, that's okay. My hope was that God, through me, would get them at least one step closer to him. And I believe churches all over the world do a great job of speaking on Jesus and what he has done on the cross. And we as a church do well in stating that we can trust Jesus for our salvation. And more so, with this specific church, with Concord, you, the faithful, have sown generationally to a youth movement that does not go on to be good churchgoers, but have reaped humble servants ready to play games and spike ball for weeks on end. So I just want to say thank you. If it wasn't for my leaders who poured into me week after week, I don't know where I would be, but it's just so amazing to see this generationally. I want to pray, and then I want to get into our message for the day, and we'll go from there. So, Jesus, just thank you for this time, God. Thank you for just a week of you pulling through, where you showed up time and time again. You have saved us. You have brought us closer through faith, and we can see even more so how much we can trust you. We love you. We thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. So I'll be coming from Ephesians. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time in Ephesians because Ephesians 6 is very, very straightforward. And when you read Ephesians 1, you see the overall theme of it, which is end capped at Ephesians 6. And so in Ephesians 1, Paul says to the Ephesians, to the church at Ephesus, that he prays for them for spiritual wisdom. He wants them to understand the confident hope God has given to those he has called. He wants to see them understand the incredible greatness of God's power, and he wants them to know that God is far and above any and all rulers in this world and the world to come, and that all things are under the authority of Christ. And so understanding these things allows us to see chapter 6 in more context. And so it reads, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to withstand the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints." And so when it says to be strong back in verse 10, be strong means that you can rest in the work of Christ, that you can know that all the authority is his. "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all." That's 1 Chronicles 29:11. And to be strong means exercise your faith. 1 Corinthians 9:24 through 27, it sums up to, "I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified." And so we stand firm, and we be strong in the Lord and his strength, so that we can put on the full armor of God, so we'll be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. And so where does the armor come from? It comes from God. Does it come from you? No. Does it come from our own power? No, it's the Holy Spirit indwelling in us that we have this power as we stand in spiritual warfare. And what does it mean to stand firm? To stand firm simply means to hold your ground. We are not in offensive battles. There was one offensive battle, and the champion of that was Jesus Christ. And what you'll see in a moment is we stand firm with multiple defensive armors and defensive weapons. And I told the students up at the cross on Thursday night that the scene in Star Wars in Episode 3, if you remember that movie, there was the final battle between Anakin and Obi-Wan. And Obi-Wan looks at Anakin and says, "This is over. I have the high ground." And Anakin tries to Jedi jump over, and it just does not end well for him. And so it'll end not well for the devil as well. And so when you see in the Bible, you'll see phrases like "so that" and "therefore." And those are important things to circle and underline, because we know that there's an action step coming up. And so we put on God's armor so that we stand firm against what the devil may bring. And so the devil brings doubt. He makes us to deny. He tries to get us to disregard God's word, and to get us to disobey. In 2 Corinthians 11:3, it says, "Satan is cunning to influence minds, to be led astray from sincere and pure devotion to Christ." In John 8:44, it says, Satan lies, and that is his native tongue. And in John 10:10, it says that Satan kills, steals, and destroys. Because in verse 12, it says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." And so you want to remember Ephesians 1:21 that says, "Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come." That we can rest that God is above all authorities and has given that authority to his son, Jesus Christ. Verse 14, "Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth." Now, it's probably been a minute since some of us have girded our loins, if we have, and girding loins has changed a little bit. The pants that I'm currently wearing just has a little drawstring that helps me gird my loins because I tend to be a little competitive, and so I'll race my kids, and if I'm not wearing the right pants, then my pants start to fall and go to my ankles. Thankfully, they haven't yet. And so you end up doing this awkward run like this that helps keep up your pants. And so remember to gird your loins with truth. You probably didn't think you'd be seeing me do that, but here we are. And having put on the breastplate of righteousness, the breastplate covered from the neck down to the thighs, and it covered the vital organs. And so vitally, it's important to know that the righteousness that we have comes from the saving power of Jesus Christ. And then it says, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Essentially, soldiers back in Paul's time would basically wear cleats, in a sense. And so the cleats with the spikes on the bottom would give them the ability to stand their ground against whether it's wet ground, dry ground, but it gave them an advantage versus sandals that were flat-bottomed with no cleats. And so we understand that these sandals are a gospel of peace, so we ground ourselves into God's peace. And then it says, in addition, taking up the shield of faith with which you'll be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And so I had to look it up this morning because I was trying to think what that movie was, but it was 300, where the Spartans are standing their ground, and the enemy, one of the armies, shot thousands upon thousands of arrows into the air, and the arrows simply landed amongst them and were defended by their shields. And in that scene, the Spartans are laughing because they're confident that the shield that was not made by them would protect them. And it says to take the helmet of salvation. Helmets protect our brains and our head. And inside our heads and our brains is our thoughts. And so as the scripture says, it says that we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And so every day, if you've been a Christian for a second, you know that there's a battle between your emotions and what you know to be true. And so we take our emotions and our thoughts and all those things, and we capture them, and we submit those to God. And lastly, it says, take the sword. Now, the soldiers, because I looked this up, I just learned this. The soldiers would have used smaller, like 18-inch swords. They wouldn't have used the big, huge swords, because with those, you had to use two hands. And so they used the shorter swords with the shield to attack and defend. The thing is, though, is that the sword that they used was defensive in nature. You could have used spears that Paul didn't refer to. You could have used other items or longer swords, but those were more offensive weapons where they have to do a march to a new territory. Remember, we are standing our ground. So the short sword, even though it was offensive, was defensive in nature. And if you have your Bible, Harry Ironside, a famous theologian, really deep thinker, he says, do not make a mistake here. The sword of the Spirit is not the Bible. The Bible is not the sword of the Spirit. It is the armory. Inside the Bible, there are thousands of swords, and every one of them is powerful and two-edged. 1 John 4:4, you are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Isaiah 54:17, no weapon that is formed against you will prosper, and every tongue that accuses you in judgment you will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication is from me. Romans 8:37, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. 1 Corinthians 15, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Zechariah 4:6, not by my might nor my power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. These are all swords that live inside of our armory. And so my prayer is that us as believers, as we put on God's armor, that we remember to pick up the sword, because we cannot fight, we cannot stand firm, we cannot hold our ground if we're fighting empty-handed. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.